You're listening to The Leader Spot. I'm your host, Rebecca Blacksmith. Here with us now is the president and CEO of My Biz Homepage, Peter Justin. Welcome, Peter, to the show.
Good morning, Rebecca, and thank you.
You're an old radio pro yourself, I hear. What'd you say, 450 different markets you were in?
Yeah, we're in 480 markets and about 82 stations on TV.
Wow. All right, well, you keep us in line here at The Leader Spot, okay?
Well, it's part of my checkered past. We won't go over there.
Now, My Biz Homepage helps small businesses keep track of their finances. It's the first free web-based financial dashboard designed specifically for entrepreneurs and small businesses. Tell us more about this.
That's right, Rebecca. Thanks. Well, the pain point we tried to solve for entrepreneurs is this. 80% of small businesses in America use QuickBooks. 80% of those people don't do their own books. They give them to an accountant to do, because usually when an entrepreneur starts a business, he's passionate about his business, whether it's a radio show or making pizza or a consulting firm. But what they're not usually good at is following their books. And there was an appalling statistic from the SBA that said that about 68% of American businesses that close annually are successful when they close. They're just not successful enough because they're not tracking the trends, and maybe their receivables get out of line. So the pain point we really wanted to hit with entrepreneurs is, let's do that for you. So what we do is we go into their QuickBooks, pull information out of their QuickBooks, whether their accountant does it or they do it, convert the information from accounting speak to English, and push it back to their desktop. So they can pull up their Internet Explorer and go, oh, wow, sales are up or sales are down or receivables are getting out of line, or give them that financial information they need to run their business in front of them all the time instead of a quarterly report that they don't understand anyway.
And my understanding was that a number of small businesses fail for not having enough capital. And
correct.
You're raising another issue, which is cash flow issues in terms of not tracking your finances. Do you have any idea what the breakdown is generally, how much more often it's tracking finances, just even in your experience, not hard statistics?
Well, here's one of the problems, and here's where a lot of the businesses hit a failure point, is, you know, as entrepreneurs, we all think, hey, what do we have to do? We have to go sell. We have to sell more advertising for our radio show. We have to sell more pizzas. And if we just sell more, our business will be fine. The reality is, it's not. When you generate a sale, you generate an expense. Your money comes when you collect the revenue from that sale. So it goes into receivables. So if we focus on too much on sales and our receivables climb faster out there someplace, that delta widens as you get out there, because all the expenses up front and the income is later. Unless you plan for that or are aware of that, you'd be so successful you'll file bankruptcy in 6 months.
Interesting. Now, you're a small business owner yourself in terms of the amount, well, or an entrepreneur. You've done 20 businesses in 30 years, and you call yourself a serial entrepreneur.
Yeah, I hate that term. You know, it's so close to serial killer. You know, I don't know if we should be using that or not, but yeah, I think it's a good word for the press. What I've done over the years is try to create efficiencies in inefficient market space. So I usually pick on financial services. I built 3 nationwide mortgage banking companies. I built an insurance company in 47 states. And it's all by creating efficiencies in a non-efficient space. That's why when we looked around for the thing to do next, my career goes in 5-year increments, it seems, that I want the most inefficient space in America is small business. The statistics are amazing. It's 50% of the non-farm GDP. 50% of the non-farm GDP, but they don't get the efficiencies inherent in large business models and purchasing power or business analytics and what we do.
So do you think this is a space you might stay in?
Oh, I love this space.
Okay.
You know, it's like the ultimate test. You know, how do you organize 26 million small businesses that, you know, don't have the time to do anything during the day? You know, how, and with $5 trillion in purchasing power. So everybody wants to reach the small business guy, but because they're so highly fragmented and it's so busy because they're small, nobody can go talk to them and reach them. So one of our goals is to organize the market.
And you're organizing the market not just here, but 26 countries. So my question was that intentional? Did you realize other countries would need your organization as much as here?
Not a clue. To be perfectly blunt, not a clue. We designed the product for the American economy, the American market space. We started getting users from, because everything we do is free. It's a free model. Mm-hmm. So we started getting users from other countries, and we started looking into that. And what's interesting about that is the countries are smaller emerging growth economies that are, in my opinion, I think the same thing happened in the phone business. You know, if you go to an emerging growth country, everybody's got a cell phone because there's no infrastructure for landlines. So they skipped over that part of the technology. Yep. And I think the countries that are using us were big in South Africa, the former Soviet republics in Central Europe and the Baltic states, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, Hungary. It's getting interesting. The economies that are emerging, we kind of thought we'd get big in China and India and the typical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But no, all the growth has been from these small countries. And the other thing, interesting thing about that is you could pluck most of these businesses from around the world and put them anywhere in the United States. It's the same business. It's Wanda's Broom in Winchester, Virginia, and Helen's Cleaning Service in Birmingham, England, you know. It's what attracts it is the efficiencies, I think.
Now, speaking of entrepreneurship that you're fascinated with, you do this boot camp for high school kids. So not only do you do this yourself as a serial entrepreneur for 30 years, but you're now trying to train young high school kids how to be entrepreneurs.
Correct. We do a lot of work with Shenandoah University in Winchester, Virginia. And in their business school, they wanted to have a focus on building entrepreneurship. So they started an entrepreneurship institute in the business school. A natural outgrowth of that with Dr. Miles Davis, who runs the program, is how do we teach budding entrepreneurs how to not only the skills to do things, how to run your books, how to write a business plan, how to understand your finances, but ethical entrepreneurship. How to do well by doing good. And it doesn't mean you have to be Santa Claus and hand out free candy at Christmas, but what it means is making the right ethical and moral decisions to try and train them to be good leaders in the days to come. You know, we're all sick and tired of headlines that talk about how bad business people are. Well, that's not necessarily the case. That's just what, for some reason, the media focuses on. We're trying to train entrepreneurs out there to take a higher ethical and moral standard.
Is that something throughout, you know, your 20 businesses you always believed in? Did you stumble upon it? Were you raised that way?
Absolutely. You know, if I pull common threads from the last 30 years of doing this, it's try and do things the right way. I was given a very strong upbringing in that. And the right thing isn't always the easy thing to do, but it's always the right thing to do. And, you know, you have to make tough decisions and tough calls, especially, you know, sometimes there's those ethical gray areas where you go, well, you know, if I told the client that, I could get their contract and we'll figure it out later, as versus I know it can deliver, I know it can perform, let's go and do good business. So there's always that siren song in business of going, yeah, it's tempting, especially if it becomes almost an ethical issue. If I get that contract, I can have a better life for my family, but I'm not going to do a good job for the client. And here's my test. If I can't tell my kids about it, I don't do it.
That's a great test.
That's a great test. You know, we want them to be better than us, right?
Right.
So we have to lead. It's leadership, ethics, integrity.
And for you, unfortunately, it's a higher bar because I heard you have 6 kids.
Oh, yeah. No, it seemed to be the thing to do at the time.
And I've heard that before. You know, people often, they train their kids to be young entrepreneurs. You see these CEOs, that's what they find, you know, it's something they want to pass down.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at the end of the day, what are we going to leave behind? You know, a building with a name on it, you know, a bank account or whatever, you know. But what we really leave behind is our legacy of either, you know, at the entrepreneurship boot camp in Shenandoah University, if we can train more kids to build a better business and help build a stronger America by watering the root of the tree, so to speak, you know, that's a good legacy. That's a good thing to leave behind.
We are speaking with Peter Justin, President and CEO of My Biz Homepage. Washington Smart CEO named you one of 20 leaders we admire most in 2006. So my question for you is, what makes you a smart CEO and not just a CEO?
Boy, that's just that's an excellent question. Let me answer it this way. One of the things that Washington Smart CEO wanted to focus on were people that they considered successful, and not only define success in terms of economic success, but in terms of balance. Did you lead a balanced life? Did you lead a good life? Were you doing things for others as well as doing things for yourself? And that balance, and I think that helps define success. If you are, you know, I keep going back to old standards, you know, Rudyard Kipling poems on when you'll be a man. You know, if we can define success as doing the right thing when nobody's looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Washington Smart CEO looked at and said, are these people doing the right thing and leading a good, balanced life, giving back to the community, have a higher sense of self, you know, honor before self? I think that's what their focus was.
And I have a theory of panoptic leadership that I've shared with folks, and that is that, you know, panoptic leader is beyond just leadership, and there's these other facets of giving back to the community, and it's leadership almost in every sphere of your life. And one of my thoughts behind that is that leadership is private as well as public, which is what you commented on with your kids, and you're saying that Washington Smart CEO looked for is what's that private decision-making boardroom behavior, and how does that vary from public corporate decision-making behavior?
Well, you know, it's easy to do the right thing when everyone's watching, but if you do the right thing when nobody's looking, and that becomes ingrained in you. It also becomes ingrained. You know, the speed of the leader determines the rate of the pack, right? Mm-hmm. So what the leader does, everyone else will follow, whether he's leading them down a bad path. And MCI WorldCom, for example, not to pick on Bernie Ebers, but if they're leading them down the wrong path, that's the standard to follow. If you lead them down the right path, and companies like Cytor here in the greater Washington area, great company, highly ethical, keeping their morals intact as they get great success.
Now, you've led all these companies over the year using this philosophy of private decision, you know, ethical decision making, and a number of them have been profitable, but a few of them haven't.
Oh, some spectacular failures.
What?
If you want to fail, fail big, fail large, and fail forward. And learn from it and move on. You know, everybody does. If anybody tells you they hit 100% every time at bat, hang up on them because they're lying through their teeth. Yep. And that just doesn't work. Whether it's a political campaign, how many times Abe Lincoln failed before he became the president?
Like
that was
seven
the
or
first
nine.
Campaign.
Yep.
First thing he ever won was the presidency. So I think failure is important. Not that we want to fail. Nobody wants to fail. But if you do, learn from it, fail while daring greatly, to paraphrase Roosevelt, and fail forward and learn from it and move on. I see a lot of people that don't, their business model doesn't work, and they lay down and go, okay, I'm going to be a failure the rest of my life. You know what? Get up and move on.
And what was the one thread of the profitable, so the non-failure companies that ran through it?
Well, interesting. There's a couple things we build our companies on. One of them is leadership and ethics, as we've talked about, but it's also networking and partnerships. And, you know, there's an interesting statistic for you. 68% of revenue in American companies are developed through partnerships, which I didn't really buy into. And then I thought, well, when was the last time you bought a Dell computer that didn't say Intel inside? When was it wasn't buy something that Microsoft's not bundled on? I mean, once you start thinking about that. So that's what we try and do in our companies. MyBiz homepage doesn't market directly to the public. We market through others. You know, for example, Service Corps of Retired Executives. They trained 480,000 companies last year. They recommend MyBiz homepage as one of their tools to entrepreneurs that they train. So we have networking is, I'm going to tell other people how wonderful you, Rebecca, are and what a great show you have. So get more guests. So if we can continue to network as business people, it's more efficient. We pick up everybody else's distribution channel. It's a warm handoff to their customer base. So instead of Pete Justin standing on the rooftops and saying, my biz homepage is wonderful, go use it, we've got trusted sources that are saying, this is a good product, it's free, go use it, it works.
And the partnership almost serves as a reference check.
Well, it's a warm handoff to an existing customer base. It's like when you tell a friend, hey, you know, I have a friend, you're introducing two single friends. Well, I have a friend, he's a great guy, and you ought to meet him. That's what network partnerships are. It's someone with a trusted source, like a Score or a bank that'll recommend us to their small business credit card division, something like that, and is recommending us to their database, their customers. A warm handoff, if you will.
We are speaking with Peter Justin. We're talking about networking, the president and CEO of MyBiz homepage. Now, is there a theory of leadership that you can suggest to entrepreneurs, having built 20 businesses yourself? I know one thing you touch on is the right product at the right time. The right product at the right time.
Yeah, if there is a thread there, you know, a success thread, it's having the right product, well-researched, an intelligent, calculated risk, having the intestinal fortitude to move the ball forward, follow through all the way, and have the right product, right time, right sales team. Nothing happens till somebody sells something, and the right infrastructure to support that sales team. And if you build that and hit the market right and hard, you'll be fine.
Excellent. Well, we very much appreciate talking to you today.
Oh, thank you. This was fun.
And your website is mybizhomepage.com. And again, that is free for people. So excellent. And it links right into QuickBooks for people.
Everything we do is free. It actually goes into their QuickBooks, culls information out, converts it from accounting speak that nobody understands to English. So we can just look at it and go, that's how we're doing. Good. Now I can go back to my real job.
And that's why the Wall Street Journal published a cover story about this, and Forbes.com calls you the online accountant.
Ah, okay. We're an entrepreneur magazine next month.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll have to check that out. MyBizHomepage.com, and of course, Shenandoah University, to find about that boot camp for high school students on entrepreneurship. That's Shenandoah University, to find out about another venture that he is involved with. And MyBizHomepage.com. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Peter. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, Rebecca.
Good luck on designing your next 20, 30 businesses. I'm sure there will be many.
Thank you so much.
It's the president and CEO of MyBiz Homepage, Peter Justin.